Welcome to Unity of Tucson.
I'm going to now talk about what I actually came here to talk about today. And that is the word if. If I were a rich man, right? That's where the song's written. And I will tell you, some months ago, last year at some point, somebody else asked to sing that song, and I said no. And I said no because I was like, you know, thinking about the song, and it's kind of not really in alignment with the New Thought philosophy. It's not really in alignment with the New Thought tradition. And then Linda said, well, you know, I know that you said no before, but can Armin sing If I Were a Rich Man? I said, absolutely, yes. But I think one of the things that the song may call us to do, and this is the encouragement today, is that one of the things that the song may call us to do is to start to really look at what are the ifs that we are living within in our own lives. You know, and it's not to say that we shouldn't have aspirations. It's not to say that we shouldn't have dreams. It's not to say that we shouldn't have an idea of how our lives should unfold. But I think sometimes the question of if is supporting the idea of something that feels unattainable to us. How many of us live within that if mindset? If I had more money, if I were healthier, if I were loved, if life were easier. Anyone ask that question? What are the conditions? This is the question, really. What are the conditions that we place on happiness, on fulfillment, on spiritual understanding? What are the conditions we place upon those things? Are we conditioning our spiritual understanding by always stepping forth and requiring proof? If we require proof, we actually are not living in faith. So these are some of the questions that I begin with for your consideration. And I'm going to be totally honest. A lot of today is rooted in questions, because I like the idea that, you know, one of the paths to inspiration for me has always been questioning what I think I know and allowing myself to live within the construct of the question and allow that question to take me on a journey of deeper understanding. So, a lot of questions today. So one of these examples of, you know, conditioning our spiritual understanding is the very idea of I will be happy when thinking. I will be happy when some external circumstance aligns in just the right way and in just the way I want it to show up in a particular fashion, then I'm going to be happy. Believing that happiness will come only after a job promotion or I'm finally in a loving relationship, that was a big one for me for a really long time. Like, I decided for a long time I was very unhappy unless I was in a relationship. And boy, what I had to find was that the relationship was me with myself, that's the real love. Believing that happiness will only come after I hit a weight loss goal or some other milestone or even dependence on the approval of others. Another example is when we are living within the construct of comparison-driven fulfillment. What I mean by that is measuring our sense of fulfillment based on how we stack up against others. In the words of Bob Newhart, stop it. Comparison-driven fulfillment also is, you know, the idea that we only feel purposeful. We only feel as though we have purpose in life if others are acknowledging and praising our contributions. Do you know? Well, if you don't know, I'm about to tell you. Do you know that you are worthy of living the most extraordinary life and you are absolutely necessary to the expression of life just because you are here? It is not dependent upon anything else. I live within the construct of your magnificence all the time because I choose to see you as a reflection of infinite magnificence that we all are. I choose to acknowledge every single week, I am magnificent. And that scares some people. It scares people sometimes to hear, you are magnificent, I am magnificent. But it's the truth. It is the infinite truth. Now, there's another example of this conditioning that we end up layering upon the expression of our lives. And there was a part of me that thought, well, you might be surprised by this one, as you all come here on a Sunday to hear some sort of external authority. By the way, I'm just a sharer of information. I don't consider myself an authority. Even with two ordinations and a doctorate, who cares? That stuff is just external circumstance, and it doesn't really matter, because the ultimate authority over your life is you. And I may be able to share something that will spark an idea, but the idea lives within you. It is expressed by means of you, and it flows forth into expression because of you. So, I'm about to say this, rely less on spiritual leaders. Rely less on spiritual books. Rely less on spiritual institutions. And allow yourself the willingness to accept your own divine natural authority, which is what I always refer to as our DNA, because it is innate. Our DNA is divine natural authority. Now, I know scientists will say, that's not what DNA is. Well, I'm talking about spiritual DNA, not physical DNA. All of these patterned ideas that many of us live with, that we live within the construct of these patterned ideas, they keep us tethered. They keep us from actually expanding into the most magnificent evolution of infinite divine source that we can express. In New Thought, we are, each and every one of us, we are the point of creation, infinitely. Now, I get some pushback sometimes. It's like, well, we're not the creators. God is the creator. You are God. You are God. You are the essence of the divine. And so you are creating your life constantly, infinitely, whether you are aware of it or doing it actively or purposefully or not. Your life is the construct of everything that is within your thoughts, your beliefs, and your feelings flowing forth into expression. So happiness, fulfillment, and spiritual understanding are not wholly derived from outside external circumstances. They are an inside job. So let's surpass the if. That's the title of today's message, surpassing the if. We're going to move beyond the if I were a rich man. And with all due respect, let us welcome inner certainty. Let us welcome inner certainty. In prayer class, the prayer class that we're teaching right now, in the prayer class that I'm teaching right now, we are really rooted in this call, that the purpose of prayer is not to pray for things. It's not about things, although the things may be a reflection of something happening within. We may look to our lives and say, I see all of these things in my life showing up as my life, but the prayer work is not about trying to coerce or manipulate the things, rather to pray from the consciousness of that divine natural authority. To pray to change that which is within each and every one of us. That is the purpose of prayer. Frequently, I will say that the purpose of prayer is this, to change our minds. That's about as simple as it gets. The purpose of prayer is to change our minds. What we teach in this philosophy is that a change of mind, and that is the construct of thoughts, beliefs, and our feelings, to change our mind is to allow the circumstances to follow suit, because everything begins here. Everything is created twice. Everything is created twice. First as a conscious idea, and then that conscious idea is created in form. And so, if that is the effect, and this is the cause, what is it we should seek to change? Never the effect. The effect will take care of itself when we have changed the cause. So never underestimate the power of planting a seed of love, a seed of kindness, a seed of magnificence, which is those are the seeds that I choose to plant every single day as frequently as possible. Now, this song, it captures the common tendency to postpone our joy, to postpone our fulfillment, to postpone a sense of feeling purpose until those external circumstances change. And spiritual principle offers an alternative. wealth, love, fulfillment, none of that begins in form. It all begins in mind. And I want to point out something, and I know I've pointed this out before, but note that I didn't go, it all begins in mind. It begins in mind, because mind is not the construct of the brain. Mind is the infinite consciousness which we are all expressing. And for me, the most magnificent aspect of mind is that heart space. Because when we are in tune and in touch with that heart space, we become master creators in our lives. And so it all begins in mind, wealth, love, fulfillment, magnificence. It all begins in mind by making a decision. Making a decision. Instead of saying, if I were rich, what if instead, I'm not rewriting the lyrics, but what if instead we affirmed from an assumption that abundance was already available and expressible by means of us, by saying, abundance is mine now. Look around. Look around. We live in an abundant universe. Why do we allow the isness of all that is expressing in its fullness, which is inherently abundant, to be diminished in our own minds? It doesn't work to be abundant in form unless we are allowing a magnificent idea of abundance to be fully, fully embraced within ourselves. We don't have to work so hard to be abundant. God does not have to work to be abundant. It simply is abundance. And so when we start to acknowledge that we are that power and presence, then we don't have to work so hard to create abundance. A lot of people tie their experience of financial prosperity. Did you notice that what I just did? I was like, I've got to push my pant leg down. We are in our culture, we are taught that the source of our financial prosperity, which we align with our abundance, oftentimes we are told that that is our job. What if you were to disentangle those things and realize that the source of your prosperity, the source of your abundance, is infinite source? It is God. And that it is showing up in magnificent, extraordinary ways that are not just your job. Now, your job may be part of that. That's okay. Trust me. I love my job. And it supports me financially. I love it. But it's not the only source of my recognition and acceptance of abundance in expression. So disentangle the idea that anything is related to form. It's all so much more. We are the very expression of that isness, the magnificent, infinite divine. We are the very expression of the thing itself. And all aspects of the divine are the aspects of us. So what if we allowed a deeper understanding and acceptance of this idea? Abundance is our birthright. That's an inner acceptance. Abundance is an inner birthright, an inner acceptance that is our abundance is our birthright. And the expression of it out there, the outer expression of that inner idea, is what we may refer to as prosperity. Because prosperity is a form-driven idea. A consciousness of abundance is what leads to the expression of prosperity. That's about as fundamental as it gets. Do we sometimes think, and this ties into this month's theme of kindness. Do we sometimes think, oh, if people were kinder, the world would be better? I know that I go out in public sometimes. I know it's a shock that I don't just live here. And I experience unkindness in the world, and perhaps that idea is something below the level of my awareness that I might consider, oh, if people were kinder, the world would be better. Well, what if we started saying, how can I embody kindness now, irrespective of what's around me? Because as I become the thing I seek, what happens is I begin to see that thing reflected in my experience. Kindness is not derived from circumstances. It is a practice that we can choose and allow to be reflected in our circumstances. Do we sometimes think, I'll be happy when others treat me with kindness? Instead of this idea, I am happy because I choose to be the kindness that I seek. I choose that. The kindness we extend, and here's an important caveat, the kindness that we extend without conditions. That's a hard one for some people, to have unconditional kindness. But the kindness that we extend without conditions nurtures the joy and fulfillment both within ourselves and others. And so are we willing to step forth to be the expression of unconditional kindness? And as I say that, I have to think to myself, boy, when I leave here today and I'm driving down Swan, am I going to be the expression of unconditional kindness even in moments of privacy? Because, you know, I drove in LA for a lot of years. I'm very familiar with road rage. I'm very familiar with the idea of, oh, if only those people would learn how to drive. What if I took away those conditions and allowed myself to just proceed with kindness, even if no one else is in the car with me? So today is a call to faith. That's really what today is all about. It is a call to faith. And faith, as you may remember or you may have read at some point, is a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind cannot deny it. That's what faith is. The ideas that we carry that are so deeply embedded and embodied that the mind cannot deny it. And what happens is our lives flow forth as the construct of that faith. What we accept in mind is a prototype for what we experience in form. So we may want to stop looking to form to validate our belief in faith. For example, again, is life good? My bank account will tell me. Am I loved? My social circles will support that idea of love. Does my life have value? Only as I perceive it reflected to me. Here's the thing. You have to be the point of creation for all of these ideas. Life is good if you decide life is good. You are loved if you decide that you are loved. Your life has value if you decide your life has value. And it does not matter what anybody else thinks. It does not matter. I mentioned Cheryl Lee Ralph a couple weeks ago, basically saying at the Critics' Choice Awards, you know, no one has to like you, no one has to love you, no one even has to respect you, but you better love, like, and respect what you see in the mirror. That's what's important. At what point might we stop seeking proof of these things in our lives and start living as examples of these things in our life? Jesus was a way shower. And we look to Jesus as a way shower. We look to many mystics throughout the ages as way showers, forgetting that we can be way showers too. There is no limitation on the way in which we may choose to be way showers of love and kindness and respect and joy in this world. So how will you choose to proceed? Ernest Holmes wrote this. He said, as we depend on any condition, past, present, or future, we are creating chaos because we are dealing with effects and not causes. So do you choose to live in a world of chaos or a world of order? Order being one of the faculties of the divine that we teach here in Unity, one of the 12 powers. Order is paramount, and order is an inside job. And we allow that order to be relinquished when we look to the circumstances to prove to us something in our lives. The chaos in my mind will always create unpredictable results. And so if I am surpassing the if, what I am doing is I am clearing out the chaos in mind. I am allowing myself to come into alignment with that magnificent cosmos, which, if you are not aware, cosmos is the antonym for chaos. Cosmos means universal order. It is time to do some spring cleaning. We're going to celebrate the vernal equinox this week. It's time to do some spring cleaning. Just as physical clutter can create stagnation in our physical experience, and in feng shui, we call that passive chaos. Ooh, right? Passive chaos, that stuff that just sits there in an unordered fashion. Just as physical clutter creates stagnation, mental clutter blocks the flow. So are we reluctant to welcome new thought to crowd out old beliefs, or are we willing to step into new thoughts? Are we engaged in mental hoarding? Think about that one. Like Tevye's dream of wealth, we may be engaged in mental hoarding when we are engaged in the ifs of life. If I only had, if I only were, if only life would. So I have 5 steps to consider how we may mentally declutter and surpass the ifs of life. The first one is, you might guess, throw away anything that is unnecessary. Mentally let go of anything that is unnecessary. One of the 12 powers, one of the 12 faculties is release. It is elimination. It is saying, this is no longer required for my experience, and so I simply let it go. We don't have to like get rid of it. We just have to say, no more. Let it go. So what are some beliefs? This is the call to, this is a rhetorical question. You do not need to shout out answers. What are some beliefs that you can currently identify that do not serve you, even if they did at some point previous to this one serve you? Is there anything that you're holding on to that does not serve you in this moment? Maybe it's ideas of lack, limitation, doubt, worry. What ifs are you willing to throw away? That's the first of these 5 ideas. The second is to give away something, to give away those things. Now, really, the idea when you're clearing out clutter is to give away that which might have been useful to you at one point is no longer useful, but somebody else might find it useful. I think that the only things that are useful to give away are love, light, peace, joy, and wisdom. And you know what's really great about it? Is if you give those things away, you also retain them. Because there is an infinite abundance of love. There is an infinite abundance of light. There is an infinite abundance of peace and joy and wisdom. And so as we give it away, what we find is that we are infinitely immersed in and expressing from those points of view. So it doesn't matter how much you give away, you're always going to keep some of it. The more we give, the more we keep them alive in our experience. Now, the third way to declutter our minds, engaged in the spring cleaning, is to keep things, but store them away. Do not order a storage locker. Just saying, do not order a storage locker. I had a friend who once talked, this is 30 years ago, I had a friend who was a flight attendant, and he used to say, you know, when I was seeking to be in a relationship, I decided that I wanted to be with somebody who understood the nature of luggage and the baggage that they're bringing into the relationship. He said, it's okay if you bring the baggage, but as long as it fits underneath the seat in front of you or in the overhead compartment. He said, but no checked baggage. So here's the thing, not everything from the past needs discarding. You can, now I said before, you know, stop listening to your minister. I basically said that, right? But you can retain the words of infinite wisdom that is expressed around you, the words of a teacher, an elder, or an inspiring moment. You know, I have on my computer, I don't have it up here. I have this note in my notes app. It's on my computer, it's on my phone, it's on my iPad, it's everywhere. I could always have access to it. It's called my Sunday Notes. And what it is it's bits of wisdom that I have collected throughout my career that I look to and allow to inspire me on a Sunday. So I do keep things, I store them for later inspiration. That's the thing I'm encouraging us all to keep. Review what you need to review as needed, because I have also gone into those notes and I've said, this is no longer relevant, and I delete it. Review them as needed. and be intentional about what you choose to store. There is also a good friend of mine who, and this is in my notes, and I've had this in my notes since I started these notes like 20 years ago. My dear friend Curtis used to always reference his mother, his grandmother, and she was known as Miss Minerva. And he would always talk about this being a way that he would wake up every single day. And this was something that he kept in his consciousness and stored it and used it as needed. And what he found is he needed this every morning. When she would say to him, he continued this, she would say, "Good morning, baby. It's time to go out and meet your great." And that is something that he willingly gave to the world. And so I allowed myself to keep and store that idea and allow myself to be inspired. Never underestimate the seeds you may be planting in someone else that they will take to be inspired. There's a fourth category, those things that we're not sure about. Oh, are you not sure? Here's what is oftentimes called for. Put it in a box. Set it aside for 6 months and see if it's really needed. And if it's not, let it go. Don't even reopen the box. If you find that in those 6 months you have not opened the box, let it go. We can do this in mind. We can do this in mind. We can live in the mystery but actively engage in the question. Are we holding on to uncertainty, or are we willing to allow clarity to emerge by putting things aside in a box and determining whether or not we really need them? You can allow clarity to emerge by saying, "I'm just going to set you aside over there for a moment. And I'm going to consider another idea." I talk about it every week. You may hear something today that butts up against your belief. And I always go, and there's this belief, and there's this belief. And you get to make the determination. It may be that you say, "I'm going to put this belief aside for 6 months, and I'm going to live within the constructs of this belief. And then see what happens." And if that doesn't work after that time, you can get that other belief out of the box. There's also a transitional box. And the transitional box basically is an invitation to do this, to practice consistent and ongoing welcoming of deepening awareness. Mental clarity requires consistent practice. That's what I have found. And it is my desire that that consistent practice becomes so deeply embodied that we don't need to work at it anymore. I often say that my desire is to put myself out of a job. That's what drives me in ministry. I want to put myself out of a job, because what that means is that we have all gotten this so profoundly that we don't need to work at it anymore. We're just living our best life. So I desire to put myself out of a job. Mental clarity requires consistent practice, but keep the practice of continuous clearing to be in the expression and allowing of being a test. End everything in mind. What I mean by that, I know you're like, "What the heck did he just say?" Because I don't even know that I know what I just said. It happens sometimes. The transitional box is to allow this idea. I'm going to clarify it. What if we walked through the experience of our lives and everything that we utter, everything that we express, we allowed to be capped and considered with this idea that when we say it, we end it by saying, "And so it is." And if the idea doesn't serve you, change your mind immediately. I know I've referred to this before. I got a tattoo in 2018. And I used to be kind of against tattoos, no more. But I got this tattoo that says, "And so it is." And I got it in this particular location because when I'm wearing short sleeves, I see it as a constant reminder, a consistent reminder that whatever I am thinking, whatever I'm believing, whatever I'm feeling, and the way that that is expressing as I say things out loud, that that is becoming the construct of my life. And so everything, this is a reminder to cap everything with the idea of, "And so it is." And that may not be the phrase. That may not be the phrase. It may be, "No matter what." That's a good one. No matter what, or amen, or as we speak something into being, abracadabra. Whatever works for you. If the idea does not serve when you punctuate it with a definite idea of, and so it is, let the idea go. That's the transitional box. So there are ways that we can move the mind. There are ways that we can step into a greater expression and move from that chaos, that disorder, into cosmos, into order. And it is not related to anything out there. Romans 12:2 reminds us, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a fundamental piece of scripture that most ministers in New Thought really resonate with and put out there consistently. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of seeking the proof of kindness in the world, what if we became the proof? The key to surpassing the if is to stop waiting for conditions to change and to become the catalyst for change. Peace and blessings. You are magnificent. And so each week I offer a home practice. This week it is this. Turn ifs into affirmations. And so what I would like you to do is see if any if statements come up for you around your life experience, and write down any of those if statements that you've been telling yourself. And then rewrite each statement as a present moment, spiritually principled affirmation. You're probably wondering, how do you do this? I've got at least one example for you. So consider that this might be an if. Oh, if I had more confidence, and something may follow that, if I had more confidence, that may become, I am the embodiment and expression of a divine assuredness. Change those ifs into spiritually principled present moment affirmations and see how that works for you.
Hi, this is Reverend Jonathan Zenz, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast of my Sunday message. Your financial support will ensure that we can continue to offer this as an option for inspiration. You can make your tax-deductible contribution in any amount on our website, unitytucson.com. Once again, thank you for listening. You are magnificent. Namaste.